This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And in this hour, we're going to talk about, well, what's inside your blood. We're going to talk about heredity, about genetics, about the Genome Project. We're going to talk about, well, your family tree. Maybe you subscribe to 23andMe or Ancestry.com. Maybe you've delved into your own DNA to find your ancestry. Well, with us today is Dr. Carl Zimmer. He is an adjunct professor at Yale University and author of a great new book, She Has Her Mother's Laugh, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. And we should also point out that he's the author of a number of great books, including Evolution, The Triumph of an Idea, Microcosm, and Parasite Rex, and he is a regular science contributor for the New York Times. So, Carl, once again, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Thanks for having me. Good to be back.
Great. So let's just jump right into your book, She Has Her Mother's Laugh, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. First of all, let me ask you a question about your own childhood. How did you first get interested in science, biology, and also science journalism? What led you in that direction as a child?
Well, I was always writing little stories or comic strips, and I guess I was just sort of had a fascination with science. I grew up on a little farm, and I would sort of wander around and encounter, you know, weird animals and plants, and just sort of these things kind of struck my curiosity. I didn't really put it all together and say, oh, I should be a science writer until my early 20s when I was lucky enough to get a job as a copy editor at a magazine called Discover. And once I was there, I said, wow, this is really speaking to me because it connects the two things I'm really passionate about. And I've been writing about science ever since.
Okay, why did you write this book, and what does it mean, your title, She Has Her Mother's Laugh? What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, I'm always struck by how we talk about what we have in common with our parents, grandparents, what we have in common with our kids if we have them, and we'll talk about how we get these particular traits from the people who came before us, as if you could just sort of take a laugh and transfer it from one person to another, or you say, oh, you have her eyes or her hair or the way you walk, or you like to read thriller novels or whatever. I mean, and so these things are certainly true, like, that a daughter may have a laugh a lot like her mother's. But what I was wanting to say, like, okay, what is the real connection underneath all of that? And what does it really mean to inherit things? And why does heredity mean so much to us? Why do we use heredity to define who we are? And so sort of a launching point into an exploration of this strange thing we call heredity.
Okay, well, let's just jump right into heredity, specifically Ancestry.com, 23andMe. Millions of people are subscribing to these services where you put a little bit of saliva in a tube, mail it off, they sequence the DNA, and then they give you your unknown family history, your relatives that you never knew you had, third generation, fourth cousins, four times removed. Your family tree that you've never seen before. Now, have you done this yourself?
Yes, I've tried out a couple of these different services, and I even went beyond that and had my entire genome sequenced and then analyzed by scientists, and I talk in the book about the kinds of things that they were able to show me. They kind of give me a glimpse of what we're going to be seeing in our DNA maybe 10 or 20 years from now when we dive even deeper into our heredity.
And what did you find? Any insights into your own past that shocked you, surprised you, or confirmed what your parents had told you when you were a child?
You know, I think a lot of people get surprised by some of the ancestry reports. And, you know, they may have thought that all their ancestors came from one place, and the report is suggesting that some of them came from somewhere else. And, you know, I certainly had that experience. You know, my parents have looked into their genealogy pretty far, and my DNA suggested that there's a lot of Southern European ancestry in my background somewhere, and that has not shown up on the radar at all. So, you know, it's possible that the genealogy is bad, but it's also possible maybe that, you know, these ancestry tests still need to improve. You know, they're only as good as the data that goes into them. And so these companies are trying to build up databases of DNA from people from lots of different parts of the world. And it's a work in progress. And, you know, Europe is probably best represented in these databases, but even then it's not that great. And then if you have, say, ancestors from, for example, the Pacific Islands, you're not going to get a very precise look at all because they simply don't have those people in the databases.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about history, because one of the strong points of your book is history. And, well, recently we had a royal wedding with Meghan Markle. Many people said that she brings new blood into the royal families of Europe. However, isn't there a darker side to that? I mean, these kings and queens of old in Europe married into each other's family to preserve the line. And that, of course, brings out genetic diseases. And so tell us a little bit about the curse that many of the royal families of Europe had that some people claim even led to the destruction of empires.
Yeah, so before people knew about DNA, heredity was still very important to them, but they wouldn't talk about genes or DNA. They would talk about blood. And noble families were very jealous about preserving their noble blood. And so they would arrange marriages for their children with people who are like of proper nobility. And this is no more important than for kings and queens and princes and princesses. The problem with that is, among other things, that you are really limiting the gene pool. And so in Europe, the kings and queens became more and more closely related to each other. And so you have the Habsburg dynasty, which was ruling much of Europe as well as much of the New World in the 1500s and the 1600s. And there you would have literally like have uncles marrying their nieces. And when you get that level of inbreeding, heredity can take a very dangerous turn because people will be inheriting a bad copy of a particular gene from both parents and getting a hereditary disease. And so what happened with the Habsburg dynasty, as I talk about in my book, is that they, over the generations, they suffered from more and more diseases and had more and more trouble having children. And the children they did have were very ill. And so eventually the whole dynasty collapsed. And basically they ended up with one king who could not have a child, and the empire fell apart. And it was all because of heredity, which they couldn't understand.
And speaking about empires falling apart, in the United States, we talk about King George, of course. The colonies revolted against King George. But some people say that, well, King George had a genetic disease that made him prone to madness. And perhaps that's the reason why we have the United States of America that broke off from merry old England. Could you elaborate?
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a short commercial break,
sure.
And after the break, I want to talk about, well, our own American history as to whether or not our own creation of the United States of America was also linked to a genetic disease. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135, and maybe you can be on national radio. Give us a call.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Dr. Carl Zimmer. He's an adjunct professor at Yale University. He is a staff writer, a staff columnist for the New York Times. He's written a number of great books, including Evolution, The Triumph of an Idea, Microcosm, Parasite Rex. And today we're talking about his latest book, She Has Her Mother's Laugh, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Her Heredity. And also, you should go to my website to find out what I'm up to. It's mkaku.org, M-K-A-K-U.org. And it lists the 4 New York Times bestsellers that I've written. My latest book, The Future of Humanity, about the space program, hit the New York Times bestseller list just a few months ago. So find out what all the excitement is about. mkaku.org, M-K-A-K-U.org. Or go to my Facebook site, Michio Kaku. We have 3 million fans on Facebook and 600,000 fans on Twitter. Well, once again, we're talking about heredity today in this show because the book is called She Has Her Mother's Laugh, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. And he mentioned the fact that in Europe, the Habsburg dynasty collapsed, altering the fate of empires because of all the inbreeding that took place in the royal family. And in England, England, we had King George, who, of course, was a favorite target of the early colonists. And that's why America broke off from Mother England because of that. Some people think that, well, maybe King George also suffered from a hereditary disease that made him prone to madness. What are your thoughts?
Well, some of the symptoms do resemble a condition called porphyria, and you know, which is a hereditary disease that can actually cause periods of delirium. And you know, it's certainly possible. You know, we'd have to actually like look at his DNA to really be sure about that. You know, and the amazing thing is that we can actually do that if we so choose. You know, you can actually pull DNA now out of skeletons. And so, you know, maybe someday somebody won't want to take a look.
And also, talking about Russia and the Russian Revolution, some people think that Rasputin, the mad monk, helped to delay reforms in Russia leading up to the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917. And some people say that the power of Rasputin came because he was able to gain the confidence of the queen, the Tsarina, because the child that she had suffered from hemophilia, which in turn came from Queen Victoria. Queen Victoria had quite a few children and had the gene for hemophilia, apparently, and spread it into the families of Europe, causing havoc. And some people say there's a weak link to the Bolshevik Revolution as a consequence. Could you elaborate?
Well, there were certainly conditions like hemophilia that were a problem for the royal families of Europe. It's not just Victoria who's to blame. This particular mutation was floating around, and because people were closely related, you could inherit that same mutation from a common ancestor not that long ago. This is a problem for not just royal families, but really for any community of people that has a pretty small population and tends to just marry among themselves. So like the Amish farmers of Pennsylvania or Ohio, they have a whole set of their own diseases that they have to deal with, and they're different from the ones that the royal families of Europe had to deal with. And it all comes down to heredity.
And also, I understand that the people of Iceland, originally many of them came from Norway centuries ago, preserving the ancient Norwegian language, but also creating a laboratory for geneticists who want to study a closed population that has been isolated for centuries, right? So isn't that a gold mine of genetic information analyzing the people of Iceland?
Yeah, Iceland has turned out to be yielding some of the most interesting insights into heredity anywhere in the world. And it is, as you say, because a small group of men from Scandinavia stopped off in Britain, brought along some women, and then went to Iceland. And it was just a very small founding population there that settled there. And the island is so isolated that they haven't had a lot of subsequent immigration from other groups. And so everybody can pretty much trace their ancestry all the way back to those founders. They have these amazing sagas that tell all the genealogical information. And so there are actually a number of scientists who are mining this history, both written history and genetic history, and they're discovering all sorts of fascinating things about diseases and other human traits, things that apply to us all. You know, they've even found a mutation that seems to provide strong protection against Alzheimer's disease among some of the Icelanders. So, you know, some of our medicine in the future may basically come out of Iceland.
Okay, and your book also touches on hot-button issues that are controversial even today, such as, for example, the link between intelligence and genetics and heredity. That's a hot topic, of course, because many people like to claim that they're more intelligent than another group of people. But what does the science say, if anything at all, about intelligence and heredity?
So this has been a topic that has really inflamed science for a very long time, you know, and I talk in my book about how it really started going in the 1800s and actually led to eugenics, which was the claim that we needed to control who got to have children and not in order to improve the entire human race. The idea being that if intelligence was totally hereditary, then you could essentially breed humanity the way you would breed livestock. And this led to all sorts of terrible outcomes like enforced sterilization in the United States, extermination programs in Nazi Germany. Now, the fact is that, intelligence does have some basis in heredity. That you can actually, like, trace it by looking at families and how they do on tests. And scientists are even beginning to identify some of the genes that play a little role in that. That being said, that doesn't mean that it's just how you're born. There are lots of ways that intelligence can be molded, and the environment can have lots of influences for good and for bad. On intelligence. My concern with people talking about intelligence and genetics is that they'll just sort of throw up their hands and say, oh, there's nothing to do about, you know, all the problems we have in our education system. I think that it just argues exactly for the opposite.
Okay, now what do twin studies show us? Twins that were separated at birth, raised in different families, so you cannot say that environment played the decisive role. What contributions have scientists made analyzing twins that were separated at birth?
So twins offered some of the first glimpses into the influence of heredity, because you basically had almost a natural experiment when you're looking at identical twins. They arise from the exact same genome. And so now you have two people with basically the same genome, and you watch what happens with them. Do they turn out the same or differently? And even when they're separated through adoption, for example, identical twins will show some pretty remarkable similarities to each other, which helps to pinpoint how strongly inherited certain traits are. Now we've sort of been able to move beyond twins because it's possible to sequence DNA so easily. You can just look at, you know, a million people, look at all their DNA, and then compare it to something you want to study, like, for example, intelligence or heart disease or whatever you want.
Now, some people say that perhaps intelligence is influenced by the environment, so that it masquerades as heredity. And some people point to looking at height, that height can vary depending upon how good a diet you have, and it can be even larger effect than heredity. So what are your thoughts comparing height to intelligence?
Yeah, so in She Has Her Mother's Laugh, I actually talk a lot about height because it's an amazing story. It seems like such a simple thing. It should be something you just measure with a tape measure, and yet there's this incredible complexity, it turns out, to it. And it is true that there are lots of genes that influence our height. And overall, you know, under the same circumstances, tall people will tend to have tall kids, and short people tend to have short kids. So obviously genes are playing a role there, but it depends incredibly on their environment, how much food you get.
Okay, Carl, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135, and maybe your thoughts will be heard on national radio on Science Fantastic. So give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-910-5936. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-910-5936. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-910-5936. 1-800-910-5936.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Dr. Carl Zimmer, author of the book, She Has Her Mother's Laugh, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. We should also point out that he's a regular science contributor to the New York Times, author of a number of great books, including Evolution, The Triumph of an Idea, and Microcosm, and he is also an adjunct professor at Yale University. So, Carl, where we last left off, we were talking about heredity and height and intelligence. So isn't it true that many factors influence our height, including diet, including your economic background, and also including your heredity?
Absolutely. So the heredity is very strong for height. It's one of the what scientists call a heritable trait, and it's one of the most heritable traits we know of. That being said, it can also be very influenced by the environment. And I think one of the most amazing examples of that is that all over the world, over the past century, people have gotten much, much taller. In many cases, several inches taller on average. If we were to stand next to people from a century or 150 years ago, we would be looking down at them, no matter where you're talking about on Earth, pretty much. And the reason for that is not because people inherited different genes. The reason is that they were basically inheriting a different environment, you know, that they were growing up with more food, with better medicine. In some cases, education may play a part in it. And all those factors have led to us just being a taller species.
Okay, now also another hot button topic is the question of race. Some biologists have said that race doesn't exist at all. There's just no such thing as race. Other people have said, well, that's kind of stupid. You just look out the window, and obviously there is such a thing as race. Some people think that race is maybe an average concept, a geographic concept, not necessarily a concept that you can put as a scientific definition, but as an average concept, as a collective concept. So what are your thoughts about the question of race?
I think that race is a historical artifact. I mean, it's a word that took on meaning in the 1500s and 1600s and the 1700s as a way of dividing up people into very stark categories so that they were fundamentally different from each other. In some cases, people were claiming that they actually had originated separately from some primate ancestor. I don't really see there being much point in trying to salvage the word when we are looking now at the genetic diversity on Earth and seeing just how mixed up we all are. You can find genetic variants in one population present in another population. You don't find super stark barriers between groups of people. It is true that you can use these ancestry tests to estimate where people's ancestors are from, and that's great, but what you're looking at there is ancestry. And ancestry is just not the same thing as race. And people will say, well, skin color, sure, that's people have different color skin, but I can show you two people from the continent of Africa, one of whom is very dark skin and one is very light skin. Are they part of the same race? Well, you get to these sort of arbitrary determinations, which are really kind of pointless when we're trying to really understand the history of our species. And what you see is that there are these populations that sort of split apart and then come back together. They merge together. So in Europe, that happened many, many times. Incredibly distinct people coming together, interbreeding, and mixing their genes together to create the pattern you see today.
And let's take another short commercial break. And after that, we're going to continue a discussion of your book, She Has Her Mother's Laugh, by Carl Zimmer. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And maybe you can get on national radio.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise has led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into the 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hvextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hvextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Aging is one thing that affects everyone. George has talked about the power of stem cells for years. Now, there's a new serum that harnesses that stem cell power to bring back your youthful look. Beverly Hills doctor, Nathan Newman.
Stem cells are basically our fountain of youth. This is what maintains our body's reparative, regenerative abilities. As we age, every cell breaks down and needs to be replaced, and what replaces it is the stem cell.
Dr. Newman and Jeunesse have developed Lumines. Lumines takes the science of stem cells using the same growth factor complex that literally heals our cells, slowing the appearance of the aging process. Apply Lumines twice daily and on average see results in a week. Learn more, watch our video, and order today at a special Coast website, healthylooking.com. Plus, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's healthylooking.com. Lumines, for a healthier, much younger, better-looking you. Buy now at healthylooking.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Dr. Carl Zimmer, author of a new book, She Has Her Mother's Laugh, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. And we should also point out that he's a regular science columnist for the New York Times, adjunct professor at Yale University, and his previous books include Evolution, The Triumph of an Idea, and Microcosm. When we last left off, we were talking about the question of race. Isn't it true that skin color is related more to protecting you against ultraviolet radiation from the sun? Melanin, which is responsible for skin color, darker skin color, protects you against ultraviolet radiation. So the closer you are to the equator, the more ultraviolet radiation you get and the more protection you need, and therefore the darker you get. And the reverse is true. When you go north, you get lighter because you have to allow sunlight in to make vitamin D. And so isn't skin color not necessarily a question of race so much, but a question of where your ancestors were on the latitude of the planet Earth? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so it does seem that latitude does play a part because on the one hand, when you're at the equator, you want to have a protection from very intense sunlight. If you're at high latitudes, you have another problem that you actually need to get vitamin D. And if your skin is too dark, you're not going to be able to absorb enough sunlight to generate the vitamin D. But it's just one factor. I mean, you can go from one place to another at the same latitude and see people with different skin colors. Just look, for example, at the equator. If you look at in South America and in Africa, you're going to find people with dark skin in one place and light skin at the other. People in Ethiopia, even within Africa, are very light skinned, and they're not very far away from the Dinka or some of the darkest skinned people around. And so, so there's other things that are going on as well. Part of it may be diet. You know, maybe you get a lot of vitamin D from fish, for example. Part of it may be just sort of what people are attracted to, and that might play a role as well. So skin is a biology is really fascinating, and scientists are starting to uncover the genes that we inherit to give our skins these color. And in Europe, one of the biggest surprises is when they dig out skeletons, they're 10,000 years old or 8,000 years old, they discover they were not light-skinned. They were probably very dark-skinned. It isn't until maybe around 4,000 years ago that Europeans in general become light-skinned, and nobody really knows why yet. So there are lots of fascinating questions to look into with skin color.
And also going back even farther, recently scientists have calculated the amount of Neanderthal DNA that exists in our genome, and we're quite shocked to find that it's not insignificant at all. What are your thoughts about this discovery that, yes, there are Neanderthals in our bloodline?
Absolutely. I mean, and one of the fun things that I got to do when I looked at my genome was actually to get a whole catalog of all my Neanderthal genes. So I can like point at these different genes and say, thank you to the Neanderthals for that. And what it looks like is that when humans, our species arose in Africa around 300,000 years ago, and then a couple hundred thousand years later, some people started expanding out of Africa, and it was then that they began to encounter Neanderthals. And there was interbreeding, and some of these hybrids made their way back into, you know, our society and passed down those Neanderthal genes to subsequent generations. So the people with ancestry outside of Africa are roughly 1% Neanderthal. Some have a little extra. And, you know, we may just be kind of getting rid of it over evolutionary time. You know, maybe we'll only have 0.5%, you know, in 2,000 years. But on the other hand, maybe some of these Neanderthal genes are actually helping us fight disease, helping make our skin more resilient. There are a lot of possibilities for why we have these different Neanderthal genes still left in us.
And also going back into the past, isn't it true that roughly 70,000 years ago, there was a bottleneck? Most of our ancestors died. Only a handful of us, maybe a few hundred, maybe a thousand, survived to repopulate the entire planet Earth 70,000 years ago. I mean, isn't that amazing that genetics can allow you to recreate the ancestry of the human race and show that all of us are descended from a small group of people?
Yeah, and what's really interesting is the way that we can look more closely at these things. And actually, it's not 70,000 years ago, it turns out, but at other periods of time, we had very small populations. And we managed to survive, and here we are.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on Science Fantastic.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest is Dr. Carl Zimmer, author of an exciting new book, She Has Her Mother's Laugh, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. And we should also point out that he's a regular science columnist for the New York Times and an adjunct professor at Yale University. And his previous books include Evolution, The Triumph of Andea. And Carl, toward the end of the book, you mentioned the future. There is something called CRISPR technology, which allows you to edit and cut and snip chunks of DNA with very good precision, which makes possible maybe gene therapy. However, there's been a lot of hope and hype around gene therapy, for example, curing genetic diseases that haunt our family tree, but it's been kind of a disappointment. But with CRISPR technology, some people think that, yes, one day perhaps you may be able to design your own children. So what does it mean if we can have designer children and change the genetic heritage of our own family tree? Any thoughts?
Well, you know, that would really be pretty profound if we were to go forward and allow that to happen. I mean, the way that that would happen was that parents would use in vitro fertilization, and when the embryos were just a tiny clump of cells, you could use this technology called CRISPR to rewrite some of their DNA. And you might, for example, choose to remove a mutation that might lead to a disease like Huntington's disease. You might add in a change to make people less likely to get cancer, conceivably, and who knows what other traits you might try to influence with that. And you know, there's so much research on CRISPR that at least suggests that this might be possible, but it's a big question in terms of whether that would be safe. You know, whether you might cause unwanted side effects. There's a lot of questions about ethics. Is it right to change children and future generations that way without their consent? And what really would happen? You know, people always talk about being able to use CRISPR to make super genius designer babies. And in my book, I talk about how complicated the genetics of intelligence is, and just that really raises the question of whether it would ever happen the way people dream. I'm pretty skeptical of that.
Well, several years ago at the University of Pennsylvania, it was announced that they found a gene for the super mouse, which gives mice muscle-bound muscles, and the counterpart was found in a young boy, and all of a sudden, bodybuilders were calling scientists, asking them for the enzymes that will give them the muscles of a Superman, and scientists began to realize, oh my God, there are people who don't care about the potential drawbacks of this technology. They see Arnold Schwarzenegger as their role model. Arnold Schwarzenegger took steroids, and look what happened to him. So what are your thoughts about the fact that there's going to be an enormous demand at the Olympics, at soccer games, enormous demand for genes that will enhance muscles?
It concerns me a lot because if these treatments are not tested for safety, you could have all sorts of really dangerous side effects happening. Gene therapy is not a game. And in fact, gene therapy as a field kind of came to a halt in the 1990s because there was a death in one of these trials. Someone's immune system reacted to the way that these genes were delivered. So, we shouldn't just be going lightly into this as just, so that we can lift some extra weights. We're talking about serious matters here. We're talking about our own biology, which honestly we still don't understand very well.
Now, some people claim there could be a dark economy, a black market in genes, not drugs, but in genes. Once a gene is found, for example, that eliminates shyness in children, parents around the world are going to grab that gene, even if it's illegal. And so some people think there could be an underground economy of illegal genes, genes that may or may not be dangerous, have not been tested, but your child may have to compete against another child who is rumored to be genetically enhanced, and your kids are going to compete against that super kid, and you want your kid to be super as well. So do you think, therefore, that since we cannot control the drug trade, look at how big the drug trade is, what happens when there is a trading in illegal genes as well?
Well, I think that actually illegal genes could be better controlled than drugs because, you actually need a lot of equipment and lab space and hospital beds and so on to make this all happen. It's not something you can really hide. But it is true that we've already had cases where parents who have certain hereditary diseases and want to have their eggs tinkered with genetically, have left the United States and gone with doctors from the United States, gone to Mexico and had the treatments done there. So, we may have genetic tourism depending where people will go to countries with different rules. So perhaps, we need an international consensus on what is going to be allowed and what isn't, because this will be coming.
I had one geneticist on the show who claimed that in the future, high school kids will have a typewriter by which they can type ATCG and create a virus. And given the fact that the genome of the 1918 Spanish flu virus has been published, you can download it on your cell phone, in fact, one of the greatest killers of humanity in modern times is available to high school kids who, as a science fair project, may want to tinker with viruses. So are you afraid that the genetics of life are going to be so commonplace that we'll have typewriters? This very short answer, because we're running out of time.
It is a concern.
Okay, well, Carl, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Thank you.
Once again, the book is called She Has Her Mother's Laugh by Carl Zimmer, The Powers, Perversions, and Potential of Heredity. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from. Speak clearly into the tape, and perhaps you can get on Science Fantastic. So, give us a call.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation.
reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.